hello to him and bless him. He is such an incredible blessing to me. And he's come up here, he's supporting me, but God has a purpose for him in this as well. He texted me the other day, he said, Paul, you know, it's a funny theme that you chose for your conference. And, you know, stand firm and watch. And I thought this was for the delegates. But, you know, this last month has been the hardest month that ICC conference organizers have been through. You know, the Indonesia conference, which was for the whole of Southeast Asia, cancelled at the last minute. Straight after that, Dale Neal passed away very unexpectedly. You know, our expectation was the operation last year was a success. Yes, the drugs were having a bad impact on him, but once the chemotherapy finished, he was going to be back. Our international speaker, Natenzi, who I'm missing terribly at this conference because he carries a spiritual authority that I've not seen in any other person anywhere in the world, a spiritual authority to bring heaven here. So I apologize for the change in the schedule, but what we've done, and I'm excited, is instead of intermixing the ministry, because most of us here are needing a touch from God. I wish it were true, Anton. I hope you're speaking prophetically about the millions in the bank. Millions of dollars of assets doesn't relate to millions of dollars in the bank, I'm finding. In fact, they just foreclosed on our mortgage, so we can't even pay our credit cards this month, right? Now, we're reorganizing that, and it's all going to be good, but you know, we're carrying a debt burden greater than anything we've ever carried in our life. God has blessed us greater than, but I tell you, it's never easy. You know, I don't know anyone who in ICCC today who is not struggling. This is a cloud, there is a darkness and a cloud over us, the likes of which I've not seen in over 12 years of being part of ICCC. So we do need to be touched by God and we do want to have ministry. What we've done, I mean, we started with Graham last night, so you just get punched in the headlights of the rabbit in the headlights is whack, you know, how bad can it be? So by tomorrow, we're going to be ready to receive that touch of God. So tomorrow is a special day. It is activating the prophetic. We're also going to have counseling. If people just want one-on-one, they just need to be touched. There'll be one-on-one prayer if you need that. So it's going to be a very flexible day. If you need prayer before tomorrow, please come and see any of us on the board, and we'd love to pray with you. But today is a little bit drier than I would have liked. It's a lot of talking, but really ICCC is about seeing the power of God coming and being manifest. So I really hope to have Wi-Fi up and running. My background is IT, as Alan said. My part of IT is data communications, telecommunications. So you know it's always the used car salesman that drives the worst car, right? It's always the IT guy that can't get. So, I am the husband of one wife, Linda. We've been married for over 18 years. I have three beautiful children. We have created a multi-generational family. So I live with Linda's parents, who are really just like my parents. You know, I've known them as parents and loved them for over 20 years. And I think that is really the only requirement to be able to come and share kingdom message. I think that's what Paul said to Timothy. But God has taken me on a journey. When I joined ICCC, I was exactly like Anton. This is a great opportunity to do trade. I'm going to build my network. I'm going to find some mentors. I'm going to find the giants. They've got to be the big trees. I didn't even know about the plantation prophecy at that time, but I just wanted some big trees. I just wanted to climb those big trees, be part of those big trees, learn from those big trees. And I don't want to upset any of the guys from the old days, but I went to my first national meeting in Phillip Island down in Victoria. And I cried all the way from Phillip Island to the New South Wales border because I had expected something that I think only God can provide. Yeah. So our background has been one of a journey. We started, most of you know me, I'm not going to go through the whole detail, but for some of you that don't, I want to share it because ICCC's anointing is an anointing for nations to be transformed. But it only starts where an individual is willing to be transformed. It is exactly what Anton spoke about this morning. If you don't say, well, what do I do now? And the answer is not look up, you're not part of ICCC. It is the most uncomfortable organization I've ever been involved in. Just when I'm comfortable and happy, God takes my most precious friend and mentor. It is uncomfortable, but that's where we grow. That's where we're transformed. So I started ICC running, I was running a successful consulting company. We were great, you know, we had 1 month, $80,000 net profit after tax. I was like, man, if you do that 12 months running, we're in the money, right? And then God takes you through that journey. We call it a crucible experience. We call it sanctification. There's any name you want to pick, but it hurts. And so our very first business was consulting, and we said, we know we're going to make cash from this. And it's good to get paid while you work. We're going to talk a little bit about Adam's curse and Adam. But you know, it says, by the sweat of your brow, you're going to bring forth the food that you eat. And it's good to get paid when you work. But we're in the IT industry, and we want to get paid when we're asleep. That is the model we want. So we said, we're going to take our consulting dollars and we're going to invest it into our own businesses that we're going to build that is going to pay us when we're asleep. And so the first one was in 97. It was a content management system on the internet. I mean, no one could spell internet in 1997, and we were building content management systems. And we lost $10,000. We drew the line there. You know, I like... Graham talks about red lines. God says this far and no further. Well, my background is IT, but I'm a finance guy, and I draw lines. I go, 10,000, no further. We lost our 10,000, and we said, okay, enough. We went to the client. They were very understanding, and they actually helped us. That client we still had as a client when we sold the business just last 2 years ago. The second business we went into was online real estate. Everyone's used the domain, everyone's used realestate.com. We had Listings Australia it was launched in 1998. Well, the problem was no one had modems that could upload or download photos, right? But we signed up 83% of the real estate agents in Canberra were signed up to use our service. We lost $100,000. So you kind of lick your wounds. And Anton said, you know, no business will fail. And there is a prophetic truth in what Anton said. When God has ordained you to do what you are doing, no matter how much it shakes, it will not fail. But there are times that God gives us vehicles, and it's just like a rental car. You get to drive it for a while, and it's not yours after that. You learn. You get from A to B. And so there are times when your businesses will fail, or where you actually need to shoot them. You actually need to put them down, put them out of their misery. There are times, but you need, this is where the prophetic call comes in. You need God's wisdom. Is this unto death, or is this a miracle that God is about to perform? So the third business, so we lost 10,000, we lost 100,000. Third business, man, the end of the 90s was great for IT. The dot-com boom was happening. You put a business plan on the back of an envelope, you make $100 million. We did our dot-com. We took our own money from our consulting business and we put $1 million into it. And we lost it. We lost the light. 10,000, 100,000 million. You can see where this is going. I mean, this is how Barling's bank failed. You know, you just keep adding a zero until... And it killed me. My soul was destroyed. You know, the Psalms of David became my cry. Lamentations became my favorite book of the Bible. I sat on a beach for 6 weeks just trying to work out how am I going to get off the beach? How am I going to stand up and function again? At the end of it, we had some tax write downs we could do, and there were some assets we could sell. So, I mean, it was probably only 600,000 that we lost. And I sat on the beach and I had a business partner, Gavin, and we looked up and I looked at the headlands, at these beautiful houses on the headlands right next to each other. I could have had that, and he could have had that, and we could be there now instead of being on this beach at a caravan park. And you can smile and laugh, but I tell you, it is soul-destroying. This is what Anton was talking about. This is the transformative process. But God put something in me and said, Paul, I have called you to this. At around this time, God said, Paul, you are a king and a conqueror in the realm of commerce. And so you can't give up. I mean, you have to stop. We had to lick our wounds. We called in some consultants. Oh, my business partner. So as soon as I got off the beach, my business partner said, Paul, I can't do it. 12 years I've been doing this, or 10 years I've been doing this. I can't do this anymore. I just can't. I just got to get out. So we mortgaged our house again, and we bought him out at the bottom. I mean, this is the tech wreck at the very bottom. And we just got some consultants in and said, just help us heal. Just help our staff heal. We've just been through a tornado. No one knows which way's up. No one knows who's the leader. We had a business plan, the 1994 business plan, and it was about one page. It was survive 1994. Focus. It was. Focus on personal and professional development for our staff. That was our entire business plan for 94. It was just survive this and heal. And there was one line in the bottom of the business plan that said, oh, and this thing that one of the young guys is looking at, this ADSL thing that's happened, we'll look into that as well. Well, you know, this young guy with no money, just what the resources we had went and did something no one else in Australia had done. And in 95, we were able to rename ourselves and launch ourselves as Office Link, and we were providing boutique private networks around Australia. And we bootstrapped it with nothing. I mean, there was no, after losing all that money, there was, you know, we had the infrastructure and we had the talent. And God did a miracle. God did a miracle. And then we, you know, by now we're really into ICCC's teaching. We're starting to understand it. We're starting to understand what you've heard today already, what you heard last night. We're starting to understand that there's two things going on. You know, one is business. And that allows us to be where we are. It allows us to have a right, you know, to go to Egypt, you know, to actually go and minister in Egypt. It gives us a right to be in the federal government in Canberra. It gives us a right to serve our constituents. It gives us a right to be there. But that's not the deal. That just is your entry. There's something else going on up here. And I think Anton just hit the nail on. I just love his prophetic. And what is that? Well, we don't know. Right? How wonderful. Anton, you're the first person brave enough just to say it. We don't know. Because this week is different to next week. It's different to the week after. But I tell you, this is eternal. This stuff is life-changing. This stuff is where God can change a nation in a day. And I was just starting to get this. And there was one teaching at an international conference, and it was, you know, are you the tail or are you the head? Where are you in your industry, in your business? Where are you? And I thought, what do you mean? And as he unpacked it, this was Jan Strawson, you know, incredible consultant. I think works for PwC. Incredible guy. You know, I think I understand the budget he administers is over $2 billion a year. You know, serious, serious caliber consultant. This is what I was after. He's unpacking this stuff. And he goes, so if Revelation 17 and 18 is you know, really talking about the world financial system, and if the Twin Towers coming down was just a prophetic a taste of exactly what Revelations is talking about, that in a day, in an hour, the whole system will come crashing down. The World Trade Center came crashing down, as I believe, as a symbol. It's going to come down. Then where do you stand in your business? I said, well, man, we're right in the middle. We've got all these clients that we have to provide a service to, and if they go bust and they don't pay us, we're still contracted to the wholesalers and we're going to go bust. Or if our wholesalers, heaven forbid, our wholesalers fail, we can't provide the service, we're going to get sued by all our... You see where just a bit of... I thought I had this great business. I went to the ICC conference going, I'm doing all right. We've got this great business. And I came away going, we're in trouble. What are we going to do, God? And I wish I could say that it was my wisdom and my strategy, but it wasn't. I just prayed. I didn't have an answer. I said, God, you've given me this business. I remember it was a week before we launched ICCC in ACT, late 1999. We were praying on the floor. I was on the floor, and God said, Paul, your company, it was called ASUS, your company ASUS is unique. There is no other donkey. You know, you use Anton's expression, there's no other donkey that has this purpose and call that ASUS has. So I'm going, well, if this is really from you and this is one that is not going to fail, then you've got to do something. And God brought into my life a nominal Christian or a non-Christian gentleman by the name of James Spenceley, who I completely understood at a technical level. I'd never seen anyone in the industry like him. Long story short, he said, Paul, you know, what we did in the dot-com, we raised $200 million and we failed. He was only in his 30s. Back then, he was in his 20s. He was an employee back then. They raised $200 million. They failed to deliver a wholesale telecom provider. He said, we're now, you know, 8 years later, I know exactly what has to be done. I can do it for $2 million. They failed with $200 million. I can do the same thing now, 8 years later, for $2 million. And he made sense. His personality type was one that could not bring closure. He could not get all the vision down on paper. He could not articulate it in a way that would get people to rally behind him. So I spent one day with him, 3 days writing a business plan. We took the business plan to a couple of select people, and in less than 2 weeks, we had $1 million cash in the bank. We had half of it. We were able to borrow the other half. We then got vendor financing for $20 million US, 2008. And we own undersea fiber cable between Australia and America. Now, if Babylon comes crumbling down in a day and an hour, today, if it happens, if you know we turn on the news after this and it's all over, the financial systems have locked up. There is no liquidity. You can't get money out of your bank. They're not going to renew my mortgage. Whatever, the whole thing. There's no trading. We own over 10% of the internet capacity coming in into and out of Australia. We own it. It's ours. No one can turn it off. See how God, through the revelation of his purpose, can take you from here to here, and without you doing anything, can position you as a Joseph. I mean, I would love that it was primary produce and it was food and it was storehouses. I would love that. But telecommunication is pretty important. Being able to control all the information coming into and out of Australia is kind of valuable if we're in a crisis situation. So, that was a little bit off topic, but there's my intro. You know, I just want to pick up on Anton's thing about just the business failing or businesses not failing. The same company, God said, there is no company like this. So it's now Office Link, where We haven't become the international company yet. And I'm like, God, this is a pretty good company. I'm praying, I'm walking up the hill. This is a good company. God says, you really think so? I said, yeah, I do. He goes, Paul, do you know what it looks like to me? And they're good questions. Like, I know what it looks like to me. It looks pretty good. God, what does it look like to you? And I had two young boys, and we loved playing Lego together. And we'd build the Lego. You know, young kids, they never kind of squish the Lego down properly. So nothing ever lines up at all. But it's a good attempt. You know, if you move it a little bit, the roof falls off and the wheels fall off. He said, it's like James's Lego house that he brings to you. And he shows you, says, Dad, what do you think? And you're delighted in it. I mean, it's all crooked and bent. But you know, in the next hour or two, at some point shortly, you're just going to crumble up and put it in the Lego box. I said, yeah. He said, what are you saying, God? Well, your business is just like a Lego house that I'm going to crumble up and put in the Lego box. I mean, that changes everything you think about who you are. Where is your identity? I praise God he gave me a couple of years warning. And I praise God he didn't take us out by going bankrupt. He took us out by success. But it doesn't matter why or how. This is the prophetic flow. That in the business realm, if we're not plugged into that prophetic flow, if we're not receiving this from heaven, we're just wasting our time. We're spinning our wheels. We're playing at this level where we are positioned. We're not playing at this level where we're meant to be active. So tomorrow we're going to do a whole lot of stuff about activating the prophetic. It's not about what you are taught in these sessions. It's about what God is implanting in you and releasing from you. If you just take stuff in at these conferences, you become a polluted pond. It has to implant in and then flow out. At the end of these two We've got two. We've got today and tomorrow. At the end of this, if you're not going back home and this stuff's not flowing out of you, we've failed you. And I'll ask your forgiveness. But I pray, by the grace of God, by tomorrow night, you're taking life back to where you go. Where your workplace, your home, your church, wherever you are going, life is going back. Kingdom life overflowing out of you is going back. Is that a good ambition for the next 2 days? Amen. Okay, let's do that. So one of the areas that God really, really clobbered me on around this time where we lost the $1 million was I was walking up the hill and I said, God, I'm willing to restart everything. I don't know which way is up. I don't know which way is down. You've given promises in my life. I can't see how they can possibly be fulfilled. It was like Joseph in the prison. It's like, I have all these promises. How could... And I said, God, just teach me. And he said these words. I will never forget. It was just the clearest conversation in my head as I'm walking up my prayer mountain in the morning. He said, Paul, your head is full of lies. I said, okay, God, well, I want you to take the lies out. He said, I can't. You can't take lies out. You can't take a lie out of someone. You can only displace it with truth. If there's part of you that is not operating in accordance with God's purpose and plan, you can't just say, oh, I'll get rid of that. You have to fill it with stuff that is operating. You know, so I'm like, well, what sort of stuff, God? What lies? And it was even hard to get. I mean, it's not like he pinpoints it and says, well, you know, you think that, you vote liberal, you know, whatever it is. It's not like that simple. It's like, okay, I need an operation. How's that going to happen? So over the course of the next 3 years, 4 years, I just walked up this hill. Every morning I'd get up at 5:30. I'd walk up this hill for an hour, hour and a quarter. I'd be home by 7. Family's getting up having breakfast. And I just come rain, hail, shine. It was pretty much everywhere. I mean, probably missed a couple, but. And God just started to download the way he sees me. Yeah, the way he sees me. We're going to talk tomorrow night about the bride of Christ. You know, we are called to be apostles in the marketplace. You can't operate as an apostle until you know your position in Jesus as his bride. Till you have that intimacy, the apostolic anointing is going to be polluted. And so he started to reveal that I'm actually good looking to him. He said one day, he said, you know, your voice, we hear your voice in heaven at times. We hear your voice in heaven. We like it. I'm like, what is this? How does this work? And then over the course of him giving me these words, you're a king and a conqueror in the realm of commerce. Over the course of getting this, I thought, well, how do I get this into me? I received it here. I journaled it. I told my wife. I repeated it. But it's not getting into my spirit. It's here. I believe it, but it's not transforming me. And this is, I think, the hardest process business people have. We are so used to the program that's going to come in and fix your marketing. We're so used to getting the new computer that's going to fix your IT or the internet connection. We're looking for that quick fix. But the things of the kingdom are like what the Bible says, line upon line, precept upon precept. It's a slow laying down of truth. And it displaces the things that are not quite right. So what I did, understand, by the time I bought my business partner out, he was probably the second or third last Christian left in my company. I ended up with a company, I think it was myself, Evelyn, maybe three of us that believed in God, and the rest were heathen. I mean, I loved them. I'm more comfortable with them than I were with the Christians most of the time. And God was starting to lay truth into me that I needed to have in my spirit. So what I did is I found a screensaver. So Graham, there is sanctified purposes for some of this IT. I found a screensaver. You could type your own text in. Whenever your screen went off, up would come the screensaver and it would float the text around the screen. And you could have all different little things, little sayings, and it would just randomly pick. So here I am running a company. Everyone can see my screen. And up comes. I walk away. I'm having a conversation. I'm talking to one of my staff. And he's looking over my shoulder. He's like, up comes. I'm a king and conqueror. Up comes. I will alleviate poverty. They just looked at me like I'm crazy. No one actually said, interesting screensaver, Paul. I am beautiful. I want to tell you, do you mind if I just share? Linda had a word over her life over 10 years ago, 15 years ago. An ICC guy in Canberra prophesied over Linda and said, Linda, you are a modern, confident, articulate, capable woman. And at one level, Linda could say, yeah, okay. Another level, this was very contrary to what was in her spirit. And we wrote it down, we put it in the journal. I would repeat this to her every 6 months, but it doesn't change who you are. This is the word of God, by the way. We acknowledge that this was from God, and it's not getting into the spirit. And I said to her, write it in lipstick on the mirror. I don't mind how long it stays there. Every morning I want you to read that. So you printed it out, I think, right? You printed it out and stuck it on the mirror. But I'm telling you, you've got to get truth into you. When you reach into heaven and you get these words, if Ron Sarkis spoke over you in Thailand, if someone speaks to you tomorrow, don't just say, well, that was nice. Test it. Is this from God? If this is from heaven, you've got to get it from your head into your spirit, into your heart. It will take months or years. Write it on your mirror in lipstick. Put it on your screensavers. If you're not reading this and what does Psalm 1 say? Blessed is the man, who delights in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. The law, the word of God, the law of the Lord is the word of God. The word of God is in the Bible, but it also comes prophetically. If you're not taking this and meditating on it day and night, it will not change you. If you let it change you, we're going to see nations transformed. Just from this room. Okay? Is that helpful? Is that a... Okay. Look, I'm just going to say it so it's been said. I don't think anyone in this room needs to hear it, but in case someone does. Ron Brookman last night said it prophetically. It is the heart and it's the blood, it's the truth of ICCC. It's the first thing that people hear and it sets them free. Your work is full-time ministry. If it is unto the Lord. It is full-time. There is no, I see capable businessmen who love God. And they say, I'm being called into the ministry, to pulpit ministry. And they're like thinking we're going to celebrate. And my heart breaks. I've seen it time and time again. These great, powerful giants in the kingdom operating in the marketplace, they come into full-time ministry. Doesn't just destroy them, it destroys the church. Our stronger business people are not that empathetic. We're not really good at the touchy-feely. We don't understand when you say to 10 volunteers, you're stupid, just do it right next time. Next time you don't have any volunteers. We're not programmed to run churches. And the reason that these people go in there is because they're so hungry. God has put something in their heart that says, you are going to change the world. I have called you and I've positioned you to change the world. And yet they don't get that it's where they are. Paul said, where you were saved, that's where you are to be. If you were a slave, be a slave. Be the best slave unto God that you can be. You don't need to hear that. You all know it, right? But that is the message. When you're talking to people in the marketplace, start with that because... I think mostly your leaders here, and they just need to hear it. So many people don't realize that their job is as valid a ministry unto God as pulpit ministry. Yeah? And I'm going to be really honest now because probably two of the people I really admire the most that are in business, ICC kind of business ministries, is Oz Hillman, who most people would know and love. Incredibly articulate man who was president of ICC in the US for a while. He's been part of ICC in and out, but he has his own ministry. Incredibly powerful ministry. And also, people may not know Bob Fraser, Bob Hartley and Bob Fraser from IHOP from Kansas City. Now, both these men have a testimony, and the testimony is, I was in business, my business failed, I saw the light, ministry, business can be a ministry, so now I'm traveling the world telling everyone, business can be a ministry. And I love these men, I honor them, I hold them up, they are great, wonderful leaders, but something in me says there's a dissonance in this message. Something's not resonating correctly. If business is a ministry, you've got into business, your business has failed, why are you in ministry? Why aren't you back in business? And so for me right now, for the last 2 years, we've been in a state of transition. Linda says I can't keep saying it after 2 years. But we're not in business and we're not in ministry. I mean, I love ICCC, I love what God is doing through ICCC, but I want to tell you, I'm hungry to get back into the marketplace. I'm hungry to be touching those heathen that I love, the guys working, they are just wonderful. You know, we still have them come and visit. I'm getting emails from guys that worked for me 3, 4, 5 years ago. They're all my personality type. They all love the Big Bang Theory because it just reminds them so much of our workplace. But for me, it's a struggle. I don't want to be up here saying, well, I was in business, now I'm not, and I'm going to tell you how good it is to be in business. I want to be up here saying, I'm in business, I want to tell you how good it is. So can you just receive that from me? I'm a recovering businessman who's getting back into business, right? or something, I don't know. Okay, Curse of Adam. Right after I bought the business from Gavin, we owned it outright. And different people measure success in business different ways. I'm a pretty straight down the line guy. I want to know how much money is in the bank after the month's finished, and was it more than last month? That's how I measure a business. It's not very spiritual, but it keeps your business alive, let me tell you. A lot of people measure business on how much turnover they have. How much should we sell? These are not good measurements, from my opinion. You can sell, I mean, OneTel was a $4 billion company. How'd they do it? They sell telephone calls for 1 cent cheaper than they bought them off the wholesaler. Everyone used OneTel until they went from $4 billion to zero overnight. $4 billion to zero overnight because they were the biggest telecom company, but they weren't making any profit. Other people, my business partner included, measure success of a business based on how many staff you have. So when I came back into my business, my dot-com had failed. He'd been running the consulting business. I now owned the consulting business. I had my first staff meeting. There were very few consultants and there was an awful lot of admin staff. And I'm like, how are we making money? Oh, that's right, we're not. Oh. And my natural instinct was to say, you're all fired. I can make this profitable tomorrow. And God said something very, very powerful to me. He said after my first meeting as I walked out thinking, just in my head, I'm going, they're gone, they're gone, they're gone. He said, Paul, don't let anyone go in this company unless you want to do their job. Oh, well, hang on. Some of them are answering phones. Some of them are doing data entry. Some of them are organizing fantastic functions. It was a really good challenge. It wasn't about saving money. It was about now me being released into leadership. So the second meeting, I started to talk to them about the culture of the company. Under the previous leadership, for anyone that's read Good to Great, Jim Collins, if you haven't read it, write down. I built my company on Good to Great. It's not necessarily Christian, but from a business perspective, it's brilliant. Jim Collins, Good to Great. He talks about level 1 to 5 leadership. My business partner was a level 4 leader, and he was very, very good. He was articulate, he was insightful, he motivated people. But level 5 leadership is about humility. It's a great, I mean, that chapter alone is worth buying the book. I mean, the whole book is worth it, but it's about humility. And I was a level 3 leader, and I was struggling so desperately. How do I run a company? I mean, Gavin had done that. I was the backroom guy, he was the front room guy. You know, he was the field marshal or the admiral. But I said to them, right now you think we're the bosses. You know, we tell the consultants where to go, what to do, what to wear, when to come to breakfast, when to come to a meeting. But we're turning that around. We're going to be the servants. we're going to serve the consultants, because at the end of the day, they're making the money. And if they're not making money, we don't have a job. So we're going to become the servants. Just straight, I mean, this is Christian business 101. Well, you know, three of them up and resigned. I was left with one of four admin staff who was the Christian. And after 6 months, she said, Paul, I got nothing to do. We went from four admin staff to a half an admin staff, and we still had capacity, you know, just by changing the culture. But in the midst of that, God said to me, I was driving along, I could tell you exactly where he is in Canberra, and he said, Paul, you are operating under the curse of Adam. By the sweat of your brow, you bring forth the money or the food that you eat. You work per hour. We're a consulting company. We don't care about anything except billable hours. And for every billable hour, I was getting about, this is back in the early 2000s, getting about $100 an hour. And I said, well, God, yeah, I think that's how it works. That's how it works, right? That's how we all operate. And I said, no. He says, when you died in Jesus, when you were baptized into the death of Jesus, and you were resurrected into the life of Jesus, sin was broken, death was broken. We all know the Bible, we taught it in church. You were set free from that contract, that covenant, that law that bound you to death and to sin and to the fear of death, and you were set free. Well, guess what? You're also set free from the curse of Adam. That's for women in labor. It's for men laboring. You're set free from this curse. So I pondered this. I probably put it up on my screensaver, you know? I don't know what I put there, but I probably put it on my screensaver. And I remember coming home to Linda, and the kids were a bit, you know, they were, I don't know, 2000, they were 2 and 4. And I took a $100 bill. I said, guys, I want to tell you, up until this point in my business, I've been ruled by this $100 bill. This is 1 hour of my life. I can trade 1 hour of my life for this as often as I need to. We were pretty successful. We had a lot going on in Canberra. And I can do that for as long as I want to. But God's told me that I'm no longer bound to that curse. I don't have to trade 1 hour of my life for this $100. And I ripped it up. I think it scared the kids and Linda. I felt pretty liberated. I will never work for money again. That was the position I took. I ripped up $100 and said, I will never work for money again. I will work unto the Lord. I will work unto the Lord. And I would love to say the next day we're making a profit. Of course we weren't. The next day we're still struggling. The next day after that we're still struggling. The day after that we're still struggling. Even a couple of months, a year later, we're still struggling. There was never any money. I don't know anyone in business who ever has money. You know, everyone looks at me and says, oh, Paul's got a million in the banks. I looked at David and May for the last 10 years and said, well, they've got a million in the bank. Sit down with us and ask us. We'll show you our bank statements. They've always got minuses. Big, a minus and lots of digits. No one in business has money. It's like ministry gifts. If you've been given a gift of healing and you don't heal anyone, right? If you're allowed to work with money, if that's what God's trusting you with, you've got to use it. So we're always in debt. We were in debt all the way through. But something fundamentally shifted. I don't know how I got from there to here. It was only by the grace of God. But something shifted. So I just want to give you a sense of some of the truths that have come to me through ICCC, some of the things that God spoke into my heart, in case some of that helps you, some of that resonates with you. Is that helpful?
Yeah?
Okay. Now we're talking about releasing wealth through business, and this is my passion. When I was in Thailand, Ron Sarkis said publicly in the meeting, he said, Paul, I want you to come up and prophesy as well with us. Because I tell you, everyone, this guy has got an anointing to release wealth into business people. Well, that's a wonderful thing to say to someone, except that was the end of my conference. Every break after that, I had a line of people. Pray for me, Brother Paul. Pray for me, Brother Paul. You know, I couldn't get to the toilet. I was standing at the Paul, pray for me. And so I prayed about it. I said, God, what is that? Do I put that on my screensaver? I mean, I don't have my screensaver anymore, but do I put that on my screensaver? Is this really a word from the Lord? Or what? And I'm still unpacking it. And I'll tell you where I'm unpacking it from. Actually, Ron Sarker's book, what's it called? Judah Comes First. Yeah. I'm not even going to give you a hint at what's being unpacked from this, but I tell you, go and read that book. He throws away some lines in there. He says, don't know, we do this. And for some reason, a lot of business people really touched by this. And it's just a throwaway line. I think he's touched on stuff that he doesn't realize is for the marketplace. Okay, so that's another whole session. So I'm praying to God, and God's saying, Paul, it's not about laying your hands on someone and praying for them. It's not about laying your hands and praying for them. But there is an anointing on you to release wealth through business, to release wealth. So I had after I prayed and got sort of clear in my head, I had this lovely Thai guy came up at the end. Everyone else going to come. Brother Paul, will you pray for me? Of course, I'd love to pray for you. He says, today is my birthday. Will you pray that God will release wealth? I said, you know, I will. I'm happy to pray that. I don't know if I'll have anything. And as I'm going to lay my hands on him, I just get this vision that if I pray this, God's going to answer the prayer. And it's going to be almost exactly my journey. And it's going to involve an awful lot of pain. And I just saw darkness. You remember Abraham had that vision. You know, he saw the captivity in Egypt. It was like that. It was like I saw darkness. And I went to pray. I took my hand off him. I said, okay. I said, here's the deal. I will pray for you. I don't believe God will answer that prayer. But the path to that wealth is going to take you through incredible pain and tears and suffering. Do you want me to pray? And he's looking at me wide-eyed. I said, I want you to be really clear. I believe God will answer the prayer, but the path is going to take you to the brink of you can't even imagine how hard it's going to be for you. I cannot even tell you. It's going to be soul-destroying. Do you want me to pray for you? Well, he was like a rabbit caught the headlights of the car. He's just... I said, I'll tell you what, I know it's your birthday. I said, why don't you go away about, think about it tonight, pray. Tomorrow morning, if you want the prayer, come find me and I'll pray for you. Well, I never saw him again. He was gone. But you know, do you think about that? There it is. There is the call of, you know, be careful what you pray for, right? Because God answers prayers, right? There is the call. This is the call that we have. We pray, God, do this, and we say, God, I don't mind if I have to get up on the altar myself, stick the knife in myself, cut myself. I don't mind if I have to do that, because at the end, you're going to resurrect me. You're going to transform me. You're going to have changed me. You're going to take me from depending on my ability to generate my bread to just knowing that's going to come from your bounty. You're going to take me out of the curse of Adam, and you're going to put me into the kingdom of God where there is an abundance. When I first took over ICCC, I was shocked. This was in Australia in 2001. And it was like this season that we're in now. Everyone was struggling. If their businesses weren't failing, they had cancer. There was like 3 or 4 people that had cancer. I mean, it's just exactly like now. 2001, it must be every 10, I don't know. It was just unbelievable. And I said, God, why? Why? I don't understand this. These are people, I'm here to serve them. Why are they all struggling? Why are their businesses failing? Why is there so much cancer? And I believe God said this to me. I believe he said, Paul, because I'm protecting them, because I love them, and I'm not going to let them go from my hand. He said, the path to destruction is so wide that sinners have so many different ways to enter hell. It doesn't matter if they do it wealthy or not. Right? It's just one of 10 or 20 ways they're going to destroy their lives and enter hell. He said, but for my children who trust me, I'm not going to give them the matches to burn down the house until they're ready. And until they're ready. You understand, right? So whether it's sickness or whether it's business, I would say, thank God. God is doing something. Might not be comfortable. Merlin Carruthers has a book, Prison to Praise. Another great book. No matter what is happening, just praise God. He is in control. If this guy, I prayed for this guy in Thailand, if I had, and if his whole life had gone down the toilet, should he be praising God? Of course he should. It was the prophetic word of God for his life. Like the rich young ruler. Sell everything and come and follow me. And Jesus was sad because he went away, because Jesus knew he wasn't going to do it. So when we align ourselves with God, when we say, God, I'm sold out for this, then everything that is happening to you is a praise point. Even if it's uncomfortable, even if it is soul destroying, because it's through that that God transforms us and through us transforms nations. So what I have seen in our generation, I want to now really talk about releasing wealth through business. There is something, we have Trevor and Jenny here today. Trevor and Jenny were the international directors of WEC, largest in a non-denominational missionary organization in the world, been around since the late 1800s. They see all the countries, they see everything going on. And I'll tell you, in our generation, since I've been in the workplace, in the last 20, 25 years since I've been in the workplace, half a billion people have come out of poverty into working and middle class. This is unheard of in the history, never in the history of humanity has there been such a move from poverty into working and middle class. 300 million plus in China, probably in the last 15 years. Over 100 million in India in the last 20 years, and about 100 million through Southeast Asia, through the rest of Southeast Asia. And they all follow the same model. The model is you got to secure your borders. Okay, most of Southeast Asia, that's easy. Not so easy in Africa. You've got to get rid of corruption as best you can. You've got to put your education system as the priority for the future. And that really is the foundation. But then it's not going to happen until you do the last thing. You've got to build capacity in your small to medium-sized enterprises. You've got to release the business people. China is exploding because the government is artificially funding business throughout China, just pouring wealth into any businesses, any development. India exploded because the internet allowed a whole lot of English-speaking service industry to now take place in India and serve the rest of the world. Where you can build capacity, where businesses can start, poverty is eradicated. So I've been fortunate enough in the last 3 years to spend time in Rwanda as part of the ICC Business Development Center. We have a school of entrepreneurship there, and all we want to do is help Rwanda build capacity to allow small to medium enterprises to go out and employ people. And this is the engine room of business. This is where nations are transformed. This is where people come out of poverty, where there's not even enough to eat, and their lives change. They educate their children. Half a billion people. I tell you, I've spoken about this half a billion for years. I had the privilege of going to China twice this year. First time I've been to mainland China. No one had told me. I'd never seen anything like it. We drove from Shanghai for 5 hours. And all I saw was industry. I think there was about 20 minutes where I saw a few fields. 5 hours on a freeway, and I'm looking at just factories and storehouses and business centers and commercial centers and cities. I'm going, well, that's mostly Australia's iron ore is doing that. But do you know what 300 million people coming out of poverty looks like physically? You need to fly around China. It is unimaginable. We've got 24 million people in Australia, 25, say. Look at the infrastructure for 25 million people not living in poverty. Think of all the freeways, all the highways, all the harbours, all the ports, all the roads, all the buildings, all the schools, all the hospitals. Think of that, 25 million. In 15 years, they've done more than 10 times that from scratch. More than 10 times all of Australia from scratch in 15 years. These guys want to build a highway. You got to love communism. Shanghai to the next city, they just get the map, they get the ruler, they draw a line, go, there's the highway. Oh, but there's a city there. It's gone. Move the city. This is development on a scale that we cannot even comprehend in the West. This is what it looks like when 300 million people come out of poverty in one generation. This is what God is doing today in our life. Now, you have a choice. Do you want these businesses to take on the culture of the world? Or do you want them to become kingdom businesses? You know, I went to China. I didn't get paid to go to China. I went there to support an ICC brother who's running two businesses up there, big, you know, one successful, one not so successful. Because he's affecting the kingdom of God in China. He's a Chinese Canadian. Just at the one business meeting we had in the state-run Three Self Christian Church, which, you know, everyone has talked about as being so terrible, in that one business meeting, we had 170 people turn up to that business meeting in the church. 35 gave their life to Jesus. There was prophecy, the word of God. It was the kingdom manifest. That is his church where he goes. He met the pastors at the kindergarten that their children both went to. That's how he came to the church. He built a very good friendship with the pastors, and then 3 years ago, he was able to lead them to be filled with the Spirit of God. These are communist Christians filled with the Spirit of God. The wife now runs the church, very big, very successful church in Guangzhou. And the father has been promoted by the Communist Party. The Spirit-filled Christian pastor is now promoted to being the head of the entire seminary for the Three Self Church over the whole of China nationally. Every seminary student, every student going through the Three Self, which is the only religion, Christian recognized religion, everything else is underground, every student going through that is being covered by a Spirit-filled Christian man. I mean, if you'd said this 5 years ago, if you said this publicly, even today, I mean, you can't, this stuff doesn't go out of the room, right? You can't share this stuff, and I haven't used names. But if this, this stuff changes a nation. This stuff changes a nation. Do you see where, I just want to get the vision up. It's so easy to look at what we're doing day by day and just trying to pay that bill and just, you know, what am I going to do with that staff member that desperately needs to be sacked? What am I going to do with that overdraft? What am I going to do with this problem? It's so easy to get caught up in that. But God has called us to something much higher. I can't, Anton put it so articulately. We don't know. We don't know how it works. We just know it works. Yeah? So look, let me close. Can I just pray? Can I pray for you guys? Is that? And then we'll go for lunch. Lord, Father, I just thank you so much that you have mysteries. Paul talks about these mysteries. But Lord, there are mysteries of your kingdom today. And Lord, that there is a wisdom in your kingdom that looks like foolishness in the world. And you have kept that wisdom from the powerful. You've kept it from the kings. And Lord, you delight to give it to your children. And Lord, we here today are your children. I want to say to you prophetically, every one of us is sold out for you, Lord. Every one of us is on a journey where we will come to the place where nothing else is important except you, Lord God, and your kingdom. And so, Lord, I pray that you would release wisdom. That you would release understanding. Lord, that the knowledge of you would grow exponentially in each of us. Because it's you speaking into our spirit that changes us. It's you speaking truth that aligns us with your kingdom. Lord, so I pray, Lord, that this next 2 days, we are going to receive your truth. Lord, we are going to receive from heaven, that this will change us, completely change us, Lord. That you will fill us with wisdom and understanding, that we will be like the sons of Issachar who understood the times and the seasons, that we would be a prophetic people, holy unto you, that there would be nothing except your glory, your kingdom, your purpose that drives us, that motivates us. And Lord, I pray that you would release it here. Lord, you have spoken prophetically, and I say now, release it prophetically, Lord, that it would start here today in Sydney. It would flow out of Sydney into this nation. It would flow out of this nation into Oceania, to the islands, to New Zealand, to Papua New Guinea, And Lord, it would flow out of this region into the world. May it be so, Lord. May this release begin today. It might be a slow trickle. It's a small cloud on the horizon, Lord, but I see the flood. I see it growing. I see it increasing. I see a flood. And Lord, I commit on behalf of ICCC Australia, I commit ourselves to this vision, Lord, that your truth would flow out from here, that we would see a people holy, set apart in the marketplace of the world, Lord, serving you. Amen. So now we have